Hello, and welcome to Kernel of Truth, a Cumulus Networks podcast where we focus on virtual veracity, legitimate Linux learning, and data center demystification. Today, we're going to focus on network agility, but first, of course, introductions. I've got some awesome guests with me. Why don't you guys tell us who you are?
Hi, I'm Attila de Groot. I'm an SE for Cumulus. I actually work in Europe, responsible for EMEA. But I happen to be at the office here today, or this week actually, and well, recording this podcast as well.
Yeah, thanks for flying over just for the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, hi everyone. My name is Scott Edwards, and I work here at Cumulus Networks as the Senior Director of Product Marketing. So glad to be here.
Yeah, welcome, Scott. All right, so today we're going to talk about something. This was a phenomenon I noticed right when I started working at Cumulus, was just the fact that we basically live in an alphabet soup of acronyms and networking. And nothing makes me say WTF like hearing VXLAN, BGP, EVPN coming in with very high-level networking background knowledge. And, you know, I come in, it's like, oh, did you hear about the... You could throw any combination of letters together. And I'd go, sure, that's probably a networking term. You know,
only if you're in this industry would you even understand what those terms mean. And outside of networking, you get a whole bunch of alphabet soup, right?
I've been a consultant at many companies and different verticals. And if you are at the Army, I think we have some listeners and they have their own abbreviations for like everything. And then you are at a hospital and they have another set and you're walking there the first day and like, what language are you speaking?
Yeah. Exactly.
I think of, I mean, Maddie, you just mentioned a whole bunch of networking things, but like even in the world of IT, right? What do we hear about right now? What are the hot topics, right? ML, AI, you can go into SDN, you can go into intent-based networking, you can go into DevOps, you can go, I mean, it never ends. So why do we have this soup? What's so tasty about this mixed up words of soup?
Whenever I hear you guys talk about these acronyms, and I remember there were these campaigns for a while when texting first started being a thing, you know, when you actually had to hit, you know, the button multiple times just to get the one letter you wanted. And there was these campaigns where it would say, do you know what your child is actually saying in their text messages? And it was like this conspiracy that BRB stood for like beer rager, like something. What was it? There were all these things like OMG was like, I can't remember what, but it was basically this idea that your kids had this secret language and they were going to go do bad things. And it was just like completely not true. And everyone was just out of tune. So I come in, it's like, what does VXLAN really mean?
You had to have something that translated this for you into real speak. Yeah, that's for sure. There's a whole bunch of acronyms that are out there. But I think every one of these things are, and some of them are trends, right? These new trends that come up. And so why do we have these new trends? In almost every case, all these acronyms are there for a reason. And I would argue that they're there because the company as it stands today has to change. They have to move faster. They have to be more nimble, more agile than they've been before. And so they come up with all these new ideas, new technologies, hopefully new innovations that will help them get there, and then, you know, throw an acronym to it to make it sing, to make it work. I don't know if you look at that and you see the same thing. At the end of the day, all this stuff is how do I get to help my company be more agile than I've been before?
I agree. The only thing is that you need to make a separation between the acronyms for protocols like EVPN, VXLAN. I don't think we're ever going to spell it out, every word in VXLAN or EVPN. And then if you compare to like ITB, intent-based networking, or SDN, that is a concept which is not a specific protocol. And you can have a discussion on the meaning, what it is, what it means for a company.
I was going to say a virtual extensible local area network just rolls off the tongue. I don't know why we
totally
have to abbreviate
does.
That.
Exactly. Yeah. But then if you look at something like SDN or intent-based networking, you name them, at some point application development goes quite rapidly. I think that evolved over time. I think when I was doing my bachelor, I was doing a major in networking and such. But if you looked at the software engineers, they had the waterfall methods and such. I'm not a software engineer, but that basically said, okay, you take all the requirements, you develop your application, and then in 6 months you come back and then you hear from the user like, okay, what you've developed is nowhere near my requirements. Well, that changed over time, and now application development is much more faster. Same thing for servers, VMs, and virtualization. So you used to have a bare metal server, you installed an operating system on it, and on top of that an application. And that took days, even weeks, to get into production. Now, I think that all changed with VMware. They had a big influence in how fast you could set up a VM and that you had disaggregation from servers and the OSs that ran on top of that. And over time, what you see is that application development was going much more faster. Server development and virtualization with VMs and now also containers. But networking was kind of stuck behind. We've seen cases, or I have seen them, where you have a new VM and it needs a new VLAN. Sure, you boot up the new VM and you install everything that's automated. And then you need that new VLAN and you have to make a change request to the network team. And then you can wait and 2 weeks, 3 weeks, because they're, it might have gone through an approval process. So it's not just the fact that creating a VLAN takes some time. That might have taken like half an hour to configure everything and then you're done. But someone needs to decide, okay, what kind of impact has the, this VLAN? How do I need to create it? And he needs to get approval, etc. And it needs to be done during a maintenance window. And I think that all started with the change that we are seeing now. Like, okay, how do I do this more efficiently? And SDN could be an answer, depending on the definition, EVPN, VXLAN, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, SDN, software-defined networking.
Yeah.
A term that definitely gets thrown around a lot, but lots of people sort of grapple with the definition. Scott, we've kind of talked about how we kind of see software-defined networking. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, and again, it goes back to speed, right? I mean, the if you look back in the problem of networking, I look at it, right, it was hardware focused, and everything came in the box. Again, if everything's in the box, then I can't adapt it, I can't adjust it, I can't manipulate it. Attila just talked about some of these other things that were happening in the other parts of IT. You look at the server world, and that was the case with servers as well for a while, right? But then virtualization came up, and now all of a sudden the compute element of IT just took on a whole new world. New innovations began to happen, because now you can virtualize these components and you have access to them a lot quicker, and your compute power becomes even greater and better for these new applications that you're developing, right? So we think, hey, network's got to change. Let's apply the same thing that happened in the server world. We'll have software manage this pool of networking, and by doing that, we have more flexibility around how we manage our network, and to be able to give the agility that we've seen in other parts of IT. I think the problem came with that is, in a lot of ways, when SDN came out to market, the thought was good, and I still think the thought is good, but what happens is it became another piece of hardware that orchestrated everything underneath it. You know, you had yet another hardware element that was the management, in a sense, the manager of managers of everything else. And that's not software-defined networking. That's just like another tool that you have to order to manage everything. Software is really not leading the charge, I think, in that regard. And so I think, and you know, some protocols came about, but they were proprietary, right? And so that created another issue. It's like the idea of this was to have this open, flexible ecosystem. And what happened, I think, in a lot of the solutions that came to market from vendors was a proprietary, here's another layer of hardware. Didn't solve anything. It created more complexities, if anything.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Well, one of the first things that came up with SDN, or I think it was first OpenFlow and then STN. When I did my master thesis, my subject was not SDN, but I think like 75% of the class had a master thesis that referenced to SDN in some way or another. And it was mostly OpenVPN. Certainly at universities and research areas, that was very popular. And in some cases, it still is. But if you then look how it was implemented, a proprietary controller, there are a few open ones, but then you see, okay, what do they really cover? Do they cover all the use cases and requirements that they have? And, well, the answer is no, they don't. So then you look at, okay, how are web scale companies building their networks? And they are using protocols like BGP that has been proven to be scalable and, well, the internet is running on it. And that is something that we've been looking at right now. And I think that's the dominant technology. Like, okay, use BGP and use the IP protocols that we already know that we have been developing on for the past 30 years or longer. And yeah, I think that's the best solution to go forward. And yeah, a lot of customers think the same.
Yeah, you know, and you talk about BGP and, you know, we hear now more and more of EVPN.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And again, I think in my mind, EVPN acts as a controllerless SDN solution because it controls everything. It can recognize when new tunnels or new, you know, VXLANs get added to this system. You've got some built-in security elements to that. Tell us why you think EVPN is becoming more and more of a hot topic in this realm. Again, it's another acronym we use, but it does it really drive agility? Does it make the network simple? Simpler?
Well, so I explicitly mentioned BGP because EVPN uses BGP as a message mechanism. Does it make it easier? Not necessarily. If you look at EVPN, if you look up the RFCs and standards, no, it's not easy. But no one ever said that networking technologies and all that we're doing is easy. But I think we can do a lot with how you can manage it. So a lot of things that we develop here at Cumulus, we make sure that it's easy to configure and that we have architectures or design methods that are being built easy. So yes, in that case, yes, it does make it easier.
What about multi-tenancy environments?
Multi-tenancy environments. Well, if you look at how that was built in the past, then you have to more look at service provider networks because they were doing that. They were transporting multiple tenants over their infrastructures. And that was classically done with MPLS. Now, that is something that you also want to do in a data center. So if you have an MSP, a managed service provider that has two or more customers, they want their own environment. They don't want to interfere with each other for security reasons or for very stupid reasons that they actually both want the same IP address ranges, et cetera, et cetera. And EVPN is a technology that makes that possible.
Yeah, so, you know, let's talk about another OS, open source, not OpenStack or operating system, but another OS acronym.
See, that's the problem, is that we have all these acronyms and then we still overlap them. You know, OS. Oh, yeah, operating system. No, I'm talking about open source. We have so many acronyms that we've run out of acronyms. So they have to start sharing.
Well, if we talk about strange acronyms, I'm always amazed by a Rocky V2. That is RDME over converged Ethernet. And RDME is an acronym by itself. So
you're getting acronyms that cover acronyms. Yeah. Rocky.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You just keep unpacking. It's like the Russian nesting dolls. Like, this acronym contains another acronym in it and contains another acronym in it. So kind of moving away from that, just because we've been talking about agility a lot lately, especially in the age of digital transformation, there's actually a blog that Gartner released recently, and they said that the top networking challenge is, you know, it is improving agility. Their advice was to shift investments away from premium network products and put it toward your existing network personnel. And I think that's sort of in line with what we've sort of been talking about. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, so you can continue to invest in proprietary systems or different hardware boxes that have a faster speed chip or all these different things. But I think what we're seeing is a trend that if you can help people expand their horizons with the technology that they have at their fingerprints, at their hands, they can accelerate innovation a lot faster in some reasons than just speeds and feeds on a box. I think we come from a world where there is silos in all these different IT groups, right? And the, you know, sysadmins who run servers never cross over into the world of networking. Like, there is a huge wall, a huge gate, not just because they don't know, because if they try to, they get their hands slapped and say, that's my territory, get out. I'm paid to know this. I've got certifications. You're going to pay me more. And this is my world. Don't
mess with
it.
I drew my line right here. This is my side of the room, and you're not allowed to cross over.
Yeah. I mean, I think this gets into DevOps, right?
Right.
Because if you get so siloed, then your thinking gets siloed, and you can't expand, you know, kind of break the box, think outside of the box kind of a thing. I think what happens, and this gets back into what I was saying with open source, especially with Linux, to me, Linux opened up the doors for innovation. It was the standard common language of the data center. And now all these new innovative tools started being based upon this open source component. And so now new tools enable automation, enable better monitoring and insight into actually what's happening. And again, a proprietary system doesn't enable or interact with that, and that creates problems, right? So now I have other elements within the IT where they're communicating, talking with each other, and even in the networking world, it's a black box. And so I you know, what would happen if we could remove those walls? We could speak the same language. Would that accelerate innovation?
Well, if I'm with customers, I basically see three types of different customers. One is the DevOps guys. That's very easy to talk with because they automate everything. But yeah, they're mostly focused on server managing and VMs and infrastructures on that end, not the network part. Then you have network guys that basically know both. So they already know servers. They probably do some automation, scripting, and whatnot. So Cumulus, for their part, is like, great. But they usually work at companies that don't have those walls that we are talking about. And then you have the very classical network engineers that have their CCIE or something like any in the line of those certifications that you mentioned.
More acronyms.
They are afraid indeed that someone is taking over. And I think that our technology enables DevOps guys to actually do that. So they see like, hey, this is another Linux system. I know that. I know how to configure an interface. And that scares the classical network guy because, like, who's coming in my territory? And I always see that, like, okay, does that really matter? Because you get paid, you have learned for using that technology. So help that guy out and make sure that you have one good infrastructure. I think that it's sometimes a problem that maybe that network guy doesn't actually know the technology, but he knows which commands to put in. If he's afraid, then maybe he should be, because, if he only knows commands which to type, that is something that the DevOps guy can figure out for himself as well.
Right. I keep hearing this about, you know, like that Linux has this higher barrier to entry, or that it's difficult. And what I'd always argue is that something that's difficult to learn, that doesn't mean it's not a good thing to learn. Like, if it's worth learning, it probably should be difficult and complicated a little bit, because the payoff is so amazing. Like, you want to talk about having everyone speaking the same language? You know what's one of the hardest languages to learn? English, and people speak it everywhere. And I say this as someone with an English degree. English has no business being a world language, because people who speak English are bad at English. And we break all our own rules. It's chaos. This language is chaos, and I've got a degree in it, so I can say how much English sucks as a language. But I look at Linux, and sure, maybe it's a little harder to learn, but the payoff is so great. Yeah, I don't understand why more people aren't trying to learn Linux.
Well, I don't know if we would say it's hard to. I mean, Linux has been around for how long now?
91, I believe. 91.
91. Okay, so I mean, it's been around for a long time, and a lot of people know this language. It's I don't think it's any harder than any other technology to learn and understand. But I think it's been traditionally looked upon as an outcast within networking, as I don't need to do that. That is none of my business. I don't care. But more and more, as new innovative things are coming into the marketplace, right? I mean, you look at OpenStack, you look at container technology, all these different things, new like I said, new monitoring tools and so forth. They're all based upon Linux. So now, if I'm the networking guy, and I can't understand how to interact with my world with those tools, all of a sudden I'm going to be in a world of hurt. I'm going to be in trouble.
Definitely.
I've heard stories of where, because a network is based upon Linux, the system admin, if there is an issue, doesn't have to rely on calling someone over the fence. He can go investigate it himself and get it fixed. It's been done, right? All of a sudden those lines get blurred. So now, if you're the networking person and you don't learn Linux, you're falling behind. And I mean, DevOps is all about collaboration, right? Let's figure out the common language for us to collaborate and work together. Have you seen stuff like that?
Well, some arguments that I hear are like, I'm configuring this way, and I've been doing this for the past 20 years, and why do I need this DevOps? It has been going very well. It's very stable. You could have a discussion about that, but okay. And then I really ask, okay, do you like configuring a VLAN? How many times have you done that already? And would you like to do that 10 times a day for the next 10 years? And the response isn't that positive, of course. The thing is that I think if a network guy accepts, like, okay, I can automate this, I can improve my position in the company, my daily operations, like, I don't have to configure that VLAN. We have invented computers to automate things. Let's do that right now. And then they can move on to more interesting things. So how does that protocol work? How do I automate a protocol in combination with containers, OpenStack, and so on? So I think it's an improvement. So for me, you just talked about complexity of Linux. Is it complex? Is it difficult? So sure, there are some difficult things. But I think it's unrealistic to think that networking isn't difficult. By itself. If you look at the sheer number of RFCs that we have for BGP, for OSPF, for all the protocols that are there, the commands that you can input. So saying that Linux is complex, look at the books that you have on your shelf for networking. I think that everyone has like a huge number of Cisco books.
You can learn Linux.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point.
And to that point, those people who take the time to learn Linux, I mean, from the networking world, the payoff is tremendous. Until I've heard you talk about this story of one of your clients that worked in a small organization who implemented Linux-based networking so that they could have better insight, better visibility into everything that was Linux-based, that connectivity with everything. He became kind of a rock star in that organization. He became a thought leader. And it wasn't too long before a large international institution came along and tapped him on the shoulders and said, we need to transform. We have, way too much legacy stuff. We have all this technical debt. We need your knowledge and expertise to help us do what you did in that smaller organization into our bigger firm. And so we've heard this said before, you might not get fired for going with the traditional vendor, but you're it also means you're not going to get promoted most likely either in this new world that we live in. If you want to be pushing the edge of where things are going, Linux is the way to go to meet the demands of the business demands around it, that agility.
I kind of like that. No one got fired for buying Cisco, but did anyone get promoted for it?
Exactly.
No one looked at that and went, that's original. No one's thought
exactly.
of that before.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks for those final thoughts. Thank you guys, Attila, Scott, for being on the podcast. And thanks to everyone for listening. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter. Let us know if you have any questions or topics you want us to address. Use the hashtag kernel of truth to get our attention. Thank you again, and we'll see you next time.